Our Old Testament reading for this second midweek Lenten service is written in the book of Genesis, beginning with the 32nd chapter, verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." Thus ends the reading from Genesis. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our epistle is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with the first verse. "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to live and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." This ends the reading. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus then went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This ends the reading of the Holy Gospel. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon given to us by the Reverend Dr. Martin Nolan is based on the text that was just read in the Holy Gospel, Matthew 15, 21 through 28. Several years ago, I received an envelope in the mail from a friend in Chicago. Inside the envelope was a newspaper clipping from the Chicago Tribune and a brief note which said, "I think the man in this article is one of your relatives." The newspaper article included a couple of pictures of that man, Kurt Holter, of Connecticut. The article described Kurt's work in restoring the stained glass windows of one of the original Lutheran Church Missouri Synod churches in Chicago, founded in 1854. That church is First Emmanuel Lutheran Church on South Halsted Avenue near the campus of University of Illinois at Chicago. The article also mentioned that Kurt was paying for the whole cost of the restoration. Why would a man from Connecticut be interested in a church in Chicago? Well, one reason is that his father, Gerhard Holter, was baptized and confirmed there. Maybe more significantly, Kurt's grandfather and great-grandfather were both senior pastors there. Kurt Holter has a family interest in that church, just like many of the descendants of the pastors, teachers, and lay leaders of this congregation still have an interest about what goes on here at Grace after 100 years in San Mateo and Burlingame. What is interesting about Kurt Holter is that no one expected him to take any big interest in church, much less take a year out of his life and a big chunk out of his bank account to restore an old church in a rough neighborhood. When the reporter for the Tribune asked Kurt why he was doing this, he replied something like, "I wasn't much interested in church when I was a youth or adult, much to the distress of my mom and dad. My dad died a couple of years ago. But when my mom died recently, it really affected me. Somehow I ended going back to church and coming back to the faith of my childhood. These windows are a memorial to my parents' faith, love, and prayers." I knew Kurt's parents, Gerhard and Jane Holter, very well. They were my mother's distant relatives. I visited Hardy and Jane occasionally on weekends when I would get tired of being cooped up in New York City. I remember one evening when Gerhard told me about his son Kurt, who was a professional sailor for yachts of the rich around Long Island Sound and the Eastern Seaboard. Gerhard was proud of his son, but he was sad that he hardly ever went to church. Gerhard told me that he prayed every night for his son, his daughter-in-law, and their grandchildren that someday they would come back to church. His wife, Jane, had the same prayers. I think that Gerhard and Jane prayed for their son for over 40 years and never saw their prayers answered. But today, now that Gerhard and Jane are gone, Kurt is back to church and living the Christian faith. Does it take God 40 years to answer prayers? Sometimes. St. Peter writes in his second epistle, chapter 3, verse 8, "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Therefore, your prayers need to be persistent when not answered immediately." Our gospel lesson is another example of persistence in prayer. It is another case of a parent praying for her child. In this case, Jesus was traveling through the region of Tyre and Sidon. That area is presently along the coast of modern-day Lebanon. As he was passing through the region, a Canaanite woman saw him and cried out to him from the crowd, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." The crowd of Jesus' disciples would not let her come close, but she shouted at them, "Let me through, I need to see your master." But they would not let her through the crowd to see Jesus. Why did the disciples keep this woman from seeing Jesus? Well, one reason was that she was a Gentile. Jesus agreed with the disciples on this point. In verse 24, he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Jesus was in Tyre and Sidon not to preach and minister to the Gentiles there. He went there to preach and minister to the Jews who were there as well. In his 3-year ministry on earth, Jesus ministered to the Jews in Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and the surrounding regions. Intentional ministry among the Gentiles did not start until after Pentecost, after Jesus had already ascended to heaven. The other reason was that the disciples kept the woman away was because she was a Canaanite. On the Jewish scale of ethnic groups, Canaanites were the lowest. Genesis 9, verse 25 records the curse of Noah against Canaan. Cursed be Canaan, servant of servants, he shall be to his brothers. Genesis 19 describes the metropolitan capital of the nation of Canaan, that is, the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed by God directly by fire from heaven. When the people of Israel conquered the land of Canaan, they pretty much exterminated the rest of the Canaanites. But there were still some Canaanites left, described in Judges 1, from which this lady was most likely descended. Despite the disciples' best efforts, the Canaanite woman finally made her way to see Jesus. She got on her knees in the position of servant before his master, or subject before his Lord, and said, "Lord, help me." Jesus told her that it was not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. This meant that he should not give the benefits of his ministry and work to Gentiles, including her. She replied humbly, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs off their master's table." She admitted she was a dog in comparison to the Jews, but persisted in telling Jesus that he was her Lord and that she had a right to ask for help. Jesus was amazed at her faith and persistence, granted her request, and her daughter was healed. Besides the fact of her faith, that she believed from the bottom of her heart that Jesus was truly her Lord and Master, this woman had persistence in prayer. She knew that, since her daughter was possessed by demons, that Jesus was the only doctor who had a cure. She loved her daughter and fought for her welfare. It wasn't just that she was persistent and hoped to wear Jesus down. She knew that Jesus was full of mercy and love, and that he wanted the best for her and her daughter. It was her faith in Jesus' mercy that caused her to be persistent. Do you have that sort of faith? Does your belief in Jesus' mercy and love cause you to be persistent in prayer for the things you and your loved ones need? My cousin's belief in Jesus' mercy and love caused them to pray for their son Kurt for 40 years. They never gave up because they knew that Jesus wanted their son in his kingdom, and they did too. The Bible says God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Do you have loved ones or people in your life that you want to be saved? Do you believe in Jesus' mercy and love and that he wants them to be saved? As a result, do you pray persistently for them? There are certainly other things for which you may pray persistently, but to pray for the delivery of your loved one from the devil, the world, and their flesh is certainly the most important. May you learn to pray for your loved ones in this way and pray persistently for all things from your merciful and loving Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.